Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're joining you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, in the studios of WMOT-FM. Nikki DeCroce of Nashville and Tony Holt of Maryville are two of the semifinalists in a contest sponsored by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, the people behind the Oscars, and MTVU, which is a sub-network, if you will, of MTV, the 24-hour college network. It's the second annual Oscar Correspondent Contest. What happens is Nikki and Tony and their competitors had to make a video that would show off their various talents and hopefully give them a chance to be on the red carpet interviewing the stars at the Academy Awards this year. So Nikki DeCroce and Tony Holt are here to talk about the whole process with us. And welcome, you guys. Sorry once again for the cramped quarters, but...
Thanks for having us.
It's good to be here.
Hope we'll make it work here. The video is online. You can vote for it. You can only vote once a day, so the old Chicago message of vote early, don't vote often does not apply here. It can't. But tell me, who came up with the idea for this, or did the two of you cook it up together, the whole concept behind the video?
Well, the two of us kind of put our thoughts together for this, and he would have some ideas that I wasn't sure if they would work, and then I would have some ideas, and he was kind of like, oh, I don't know. But in the end, I think both of us together really collaborated on the idea, and our video, we're proud of the product, the final product.
Now, you're both the stars, so who was the videographer?
That was me. It was interesting getting the camera, getting in the shot with still running the camera. For about 3 seconds of the video, we actually had a different camera operator, but the other 98% of it was me, either the camera on a tripod or sitting on a crate somehow, working it in there.
And you also had an extra star, a young woman who jumped in and came into the shot. Explain, for those who have not seen the video online, what the basic premise of it is.
Well, we wanted to show that we were involved with the campus television station here at MTSU, and that I do have my own entertainment show, but we didn't have the title of that in our video. But we wanted to show that I host an entertainment show, Tony kind of does it all behind the scenes, and then with the transportation, we wanted to show we would do anything to get to LA, whether that be taking the bus or hitchhiking or on a scooter. A Razor scooter, all the way to L.A.
And it's funny, it's fast-paced, it's not static, it goes from cut to cut. Tony, how did you decide camera angles to take, editing process? What kind of thought did you put into that? I mean, are you figuring the MTV people are going to want to see something that's has a lot of cuts in it and is fast-paced and has just moves right along, not something that's just going to slug through 3 minutes.
Exactly. And the way, especially with the videos being online, and I know the way the audience are nowadays, you have to get their attention very quickly. So if it's not interesting within the first 10 seconds, they're clicking onto a different page. So we wrote it out. We had a good idea of what we wanted. And then in the editing process, it basically kind of did itself. I mean, we knew what we wanted it to look like and just went right through. And I think it turned out a pretty good product.
What other qualities do you think the judges are going to be looking for?
I think they definitely want someone who is entertaining and someone that they know won't just joke around the entire time but can actually interview people. I think they're looking for creativity, which I think was one of the main things we wanted to make sure we portrayed in our video. Video quality, I hope that they look for like editing and, you know, audio. Is audio good? And the writing, I would hope that all of that factors into it.
You want somebody also who's going to have a brain about you, not somebody who's just going to stand there on the red carpet and go, oh, who did your gown? And then realize you're talking to George Clooney.
Yeah.
Exactly.
At least know who the actors and actresses and directors and writers are. And hopefully know, you know, what movie they came from. So that would be good.
Are you guys film buffs? Movie buffs?
I wouldn't say movie buffs, but we've been studying.
especially the potential nominees. It is award season. You've had the Screen Actors Guild Awards and the Golden Globes to kind of get you acquainted with what's out there, right?
And those are precursors to the Oscars, so we paid close attention to that. And the nominees for the Academy come out tomorrow, so we're waiting on that.
It's since these cable television shows have red carpet shows all the time, the E-Entertainment Television and TV Guide Channel, the show that the network that runs the Oscars itself has a brief red carpet show prior to the actual awards presentation. Have you watched any of those, and what do you think about the way that they're done, the way their correspondents ask questions, the way they're produced, the way they're directed?
I think with live TV, you're always going to have some awkward moments, but they have it a little bit easier because they have people pulling people up to them, and I feel that if we're on the red carpet, we're going to have to get people's attention. You know, no one's going to bring us George Clooney. We're going to have Clooney, you know, try and get him to come over to us. But they talk a lot about their clothing, but I would like to talk more about other things than just what they're wearing. I want them to feel comfortable with us, maybe get a joke in there or two, but still keep it professional and informative, but very entertaining.
And to talk about the film itself. Now, how do you keep things on an upbeat if you're talking to somebody who has done a very serious dramatic film? And there are some films with some really intense themes that have been nominated for these other awards. The Hurt Locker, certainly Precious. How do you keep it on an upbeat and yet not be so shallow as to, like you said, just concentrate on the fashion?
I think just by studying their film, I'm planning on just getting some questions ready if we do make it to top three and just have some stuff prepared for, you know, every film. Once we see the nominations and once we know, you know, who's going to be out there, just come prepared and maybe talk about their dress, you know, a little quick question in there. But just watching the film and kind of watching what they do with their acting technique, and if it's a director, you know, talk about their vision for the film and, you know, different questions like that. So it will take some preparation, certainly.
Grab some quick-witted people like Ben Stiller or people like that. Do you feel that you're going to be, if you win, that you're going to be competing with Entertainment Tonight and all of these other people to get people's attention? Or do you think that maybe the actors might actually want to come over to you and be drawn to you because you're young people and because they want to talk to a college-age audience?
I really have no idea what it's going to be like. I don't know what their thinking is. I hope they say, you know, let's give these new kids a chance. Let's see what they have to say, that kind of thing. And that's why we want to be, you know, like Nikki said, have something a little different for them, because they get this every day of their lives, the same questions. And of course, that's important, but just have something a little different for them. Think about it from their perspective, and we'll just see what happens.
Do you aspire to be in the entertainment end of the business from a career standpoint when you graduate, or do you lean more toward hard news journalism for your future?
I definitely want to go into entertainment. I don't think I belong behind the news desk. I admire people who can do hard news. I admire people who can do sports. It's not my thing. Entertainment is my thing. That's what I want to do. I like to entertain people kind of as an escape from their worries, you know, just be that 30 minutes of entertainment for them at the end of a hard day at work.
And what about you, Tony, from the technical aspect of it? Does it matter whether you're doing entertainment or journalism or documentaries?
Well, from the technical side, it's all about telling the story, no matter what the story is. In this case, it's entertainment. It could be anything, but for me, I really like just doing anything. I like the wide variety that this field offers. So it's really about the story that you're telling. That's what matters.
And if you win, what a kudo to have on your resumes.
Absolutely.
What heavy duty footage to have in your portfolios.
Yes.
To be able to show potential employers when you graduate. How far along are each of you, sophomore, junior, senior?
I'm a junior.
And I'm a senior.
And you're a senior. So you're going to be entering the workforce, Tony, pretty soon.
Very soon.
What has gone through your mind as you see the economy kind of flounder here and what your prospects are? Have you thought about it?
Well, the way this field works, it is affected by the economy. I don't think it's as affected as much as some other fields. What really is important is this field is your reputation. The jobs are going to be there, and there's a set number, and it's a matter of knowing the right people and them liking you for them to hire you. And it's really about your reputation and getting your name out there in a positive light and getting them to get the calls to where you'll be on the shoot as opposed to other people.
Do you care more about videography or direction or any and all of the above?
Well, right now it's whoever will take me. In this industry, again, it's a work your way up process. You have to start at the very bottom. It doesn't matter if you have a PhD in the industry, you're still going to be pulling cable for someone for quite a few years until you actually get into it. So it's just a matter of getting your name out there, getting experience, taking the chances when you get them, and doing good work.
Nikki, do you feel a need to be multifaceted as you prepare for a career
Most
in this business?
Definitely. A lot of people just want to be on camera, but they have to know more. And I'm doing everything that I can right now to learn about production. And I actually help out the multicam class here on campus. And they made me direct the other day. And I have never done that, direct a newscast. But I jumped right in. And after hanging out with a bunch of production guys and girls, I felt I did an okay job with the lingo.
I was impressed, actually. I was very impressed by
that.
But
it's fun, though. It's cool to know, you know, what goes on behind the camera, and I think it helps you understand what you're doing better when you're on camera. It's like, oh, that's why my tape didn't roll, you know?
Right.
So.
Or being able to ad-lib when your IFB goes dead in your ear and you can't hear your director, and I can't hear him.
It's completely equal parts. A talent can make crew look really bad really quick, and crew can do the same for talent. So there has to be a mutual respect there.
Sometimes
all the time.
Intentionally, if you act like too much of a
Absolutely.
Prima donna and
tick
people
off. That's why reputation
off.
Is everything.
Yeah. I'm sure some people look at the folks who do the red carpet on-camera work and think, you know, boy, any attractive airhead with a little nipping and tucking from their plastic surgeon can do that. But you cannot be an airhead and be on live television and expect to come off looking like a pro. There really is hard work involved in this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And what sorts of things are you doing other than studying the shows to kind of prepare for your on camera presence? I mean, you don't have to do too much with makeup. You're pretty. I can tell.
You are far too kind.
No, you can't see her on the radio, but she looks great sitting here, and she looks great on camera. But what do you have to do in terms of getting what's between your ears right for an on camera performance?
A wise man once told me, his name actually Nick Duggar. MTSU alum, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame here at Mass Comm. He told me that you have to have confidence. And if you think you're going to lose or you think you're not going to make it somewhere, you won't. So you have to have that confidence. You have to tell yourself, we can do this. And so that's what I've been doing lately, is that I know we can do this. If it doesn't happen, you know, yes, we'll be disappointed, but you get knocked down, you get right back up again and try again. So I think that right now if we go out there, I'm just going to be myself on the red carpet. I'm not going to try and be someone I'm not. Mm-hmm. I like to joke around, but still keep it professional. So we like to do things a little bit different, like Tony said earlier. And, you know, you just have to believe in yourself and go out there. And I think you can really do great things.
Dan Rather wrote a book called The Camera Never Blinks, and both of you can testify to the fact that if you're a phony on camera, it comes right through the lens. Tony, talk about that a little bit from the perspective of somebody looking at it in master control or looking through a camera.
Oh, absolutely. It is funny being in control rooms sometimes, and when the crew knows their talent and they know what kind of person they are, and you can tell they either respect them or they make fun of them. It's one extreme or the other. It's normally not, well, they're okay. It's they are a great person, or this person is an idiot. And everyone can tell, and it carries right through to the television set at home. And you can tell.
Some people might be aware of the opportunities that are available for students like you to learn television techniques here in the College of Mass Communication. Can you talk a little bit about what kinds of classes you've taken in which you have been able to learn skills or hone your skills that have brought you to the point where you'd be able to make a video like this?
Absolutely. The classes are great. They get you a lot of the theory, a lot of the hands-on, and this field is required, the hands-on training, in addition to the theory of how to set up a light kit, how to shoot something. And the classes are great for that. We've had the mobile production where we went out and shot football games that actually aired on ESPN 360, just all kinds of opportunities. Another great opportunity here on campus is MTTV, the student station, where MassCom has basically said, here is a studio to yourself, don't break anything. And we are incredibly grateful for that. And we basically have a studio here in the Learning Resource Center where we can just make TV, everything from coming up with a show, producing it, getting a crew, shooting it, and airing it on Channel 10 here. So great opportunities here are available at MTSU.
Any particular professors you want to single out?
Bob Gordon is the best. He's got the real world experience, and he knows how to teach as well. He's some of the students.
he intimidates some students.
Right. That's...
But I think that you need someone like that pushing you and telling you how it is in the real world, or else you're not going to make it in this industry.
Because the people in the real world are not going to hold your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about whose work you guys admire as you watch television or you watch film, documentaries, motion pictures, any kind of entertainment that is put on a screen. Whose work do you admire, either in front of or behind the camera in the professional arena?
Well, as far as in front of the camera, I watch a lot of E! Mm-hmm. Because I would really love to work for something like E! Or MTV in the future. And
E! Is a channel with a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. I admire Joel McHale from The Soup. Mm-hmm. I like his humor. I kind of have the same humor, and I want to do stuff like he's doing, as opposed to just talking about the celebrities, maybe making jokes about them and having a little bit more fun and entertaining people. But Ryan Seacrest, I mean, some people don't like him, some people love him. He dominates media, and when I came to college, I was like, I need to base my college career off of Ryan Seacrest. He does radio, he does TV, and he's everywhere.
He substitutes.
So whether you like him or not, he is doing it.
I think it's interesting you mentioned both Joel McHale and Ryan Seacrest, because Seacrest is frequently the butt of McHale's jokes.
Joel makes fun of him all the time. I love it.
What you're saying is you want to be ubiquitous. You want to have a hand in everything and be everywhere, mm-hmm. because that's more visibility and more name recognition.
And I think it makes you more valuable if you know how to do more than just one thing.
Yeah.
If you can do radio, you can do TV. If they hand you a camera, you know how to use it. Or if they need someone on audio, you know how to do that too, as opposed to just reading a script on camera.
Right. Tony, what about you?
It's strange when you start down this road. It seems like that you can't watch TV or you can't watch a movie just to be watching it. It's like you have to analyze every edit and every shot. I was actually watching a movie last night and with my roommate, and I was like, oh, there was a shadow there. And he's like, what? Didn't even see it. But really, it's all about the stories of the movies. And I don't really have a favorite director or a favorite actor. It's just how the stories are told best. What I prefer in watching a movie or watching television is how they tell the story, and what message the viewer gets out of the end product.
Are you guys continuity geeks? Like, there are websites devoted to places where they found screw ups in television. Like, you know, they dropped the boom mic right down into the middle of the shot.
There is a Facebook group. Is it called In the Control Room or
Overheard
in the Control Room? And we're both members of that group on there. And it's just, you know, things that happen, whether it's on air talent or something screws up behind the scenes. And you know, it's pretty funny to read through the comments, in my opinion.
But you do watch for things like that. Again, with lighting is a big thing I've just now started picking up on, is they'll be in the shadows and then the instant cut, and it's supposed to be just a different camera angle, and the lighting is completely different. And it starts to drive you crazy after a little while because you can't just watch the movie.
Yeah, like where is this guy's shadow in relation to the position of the sun if
right.
it's outdoors?
Why is the light on the ceiling, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Have you thought about what you're going to wear if you win?
Oh, goodness. honestly, I could use a little help with the whole fashion part.
Now, you wear a sort of a baby blue colored gown in the video.
You know what? That was actually my prom dress
from
my senior year in high school. And you know what? I only wore it that one time. I opened up my closet. I was like, I have to make use of this again, you know? So I'm glad we chose that one because it was such a bright color, too. That was kind of just, you know,
popped out.
And but yeah, I have no idea. I would definitely ask some friends for help. And, you know, we'll figure that out later. We got to get to L.A. first.
Okay. We're being a little bit premature here. But, you know, we're assuming you're going to win because you're talented. I mean, we just have to assume that. How did you guys first find out about the contest? How did it come to your attention?
Well, the former general manager at MTTV, Richard Lowe, he told us about it. He emailed me and said, hey, there's this contest. I think you should check it out. And then we actually went to the National College Media Convention in Austin, Texas this past October. And they had a session there about it where we received the official rules and guidelines. They showed some videos. You know, they gave us these big press packets. And we also won.
Nikki won us some hats. And
I won us some Oscar hats because I answered some questions correctly. So I got one for Tony and me and then one other guy that went with us too from the TV station. And we went there. I emailed Tony as soon as I found out about the contest, and I was like, what do you think? And he emailed me back and said, let's go to L.A. So I was glad Tony agreed to do it with me and be my partner in this. And I met him my freshman year at MTTV, and he's kind of been my mentor, kind of like a big brother figure to me and just helping me out. So glad to work with him.
He's smiling shyly, sort of.
I embarrassed him.
What will be the actual format for the team that wins? Will it be a 30-minute program that you will be on? Will it be cut-ins in somebody else's 30-minute show? How exactly will they have that set up? Do you know?
Our footage will actually air on MTV News if we're from the red carpet.
And MTVU.
And MTVU and all of their friends, I guess. But I'm not really sure where all it'll go, but we
have a couple of days to edit our footage right after we get it. So it's not technically live right there, but we have maybe 2 to 3 days to kind of edit something together and then submit it to them to air. So that's good. It, you know, we can kind of edit and make it look pretty.
Okay, so you'll have a chance to polish it up before it actually goes on the various MTV networks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Now, will you have some kind of a mentor or MTV guide to be with you while you do the editing process, or is it totally up to you guys as to what you choose to put in the shots?
I think the editing process, it's up to us. And, I mean, you can really do anything you want with it. The guy who won last year, Fahim, he put some full screens in there, and, you know, they did some funny little
slow motion effects.
Thank you, Tony. I was looking for the correct word, but you can really do pretty much whatever you want, and then of course they're going to look over it before it actually airs to make sure it's appropriate. But
I've interviewed some people who've done some independent films here. Bob Pondillo has used students and alumni in his independent films. And then there's another young man here, Warren Smythe, who has got a movie that he submitted to the Nashville Film Festival. Middle Tennessee State University is not the first institution that rolls trippingly off the tongue when you think of films, because we don't have a film school here. You know, it's not USC or UCLA. So I'm just wondering how MTSU managed to attract so many mass comm students who have an interest in film on the side, in addition to having this interest in television and radio and the print media, as well as the digital media.
Well, I think with the way things are going with technology, people are realizing that they can shoot pretty high quality pictures, video with cheaper cameras. So what happens is, used to the only people that could be really taken serious is people with multi-million dollar budgets to tell their story. But what's happening now is even someone with not a huge budget can rent a reasonably priced camera and some lights and produce a very professional looking piece without the huge budget that's been required in the past.
So who cares if your particular university has a film school or not? You can learn from other people and from the internet and even as an amateur put together something that is pretty professional looking.
Right.
Yeah. This contest is going to pay you what in addition to your transportation, room and board, obviously, if you win?
Well, they give you $50 per diem and also $100 to go towards whatever you're wearing. Mm-hmm. So that certainly helps.
The experience will be incredible. And I think that's one of the industry terms is you're being paid an experience. In other words, you're not getting anything from this, but you better enjoy yourself while you're here.
Oh, it's a great opportunity, you know. Doesn't matter where we stay in the hotel, how much money they give us for food, or, you know, how much money they give us to buy a dress. It's definitely the experience. Mm-hmm. And it would be amazing to represent MTSU out there on the red carpet.
Are you going to have time to have fun in addition to working? I mean, are you going to have any
free time?
You know
what? This is our fun.
Yeah.
I mean, if we sound kind of geeky, this is what we do. This is what we do when we get out of class, you know. All of us hang out on the weekends doing videos and whatnot, so this would be our fun.
So you don't want to do the L.A. tourist thing?
I was actually born in Los Angeles, and my dad lived out there for a while just working out there. He's back now, but, I mean, if Tony wants to go around, I'll take him around.
As long as I can take my camera, I'll
get some shots of, like, the Hollywood sign and the stars on the boulevard.
Sure, have some B-roll to cut in.
Yes, exactly.
You'll make a video of your video of your video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be like the total, let's not even go there. The Academy Awards is scheduled for March the 7th, which is a Sunday. It's the 82nd Annual Academy Awards. It's always on a Sunday because they know that I'll stay up late to watch it and come dragging in at 9 o'clock in the morning to work the next day because I can't stand to take the day off. If you want to watch Tony and Nikki's video, what is the website to go to watch and vote?
It is www.oscars.mtvu.com.
And you can only vote once per day, but the deadline is February the 10th. That's the last day you can vote, so you don't have much time left. Get your votes in there and perhaps send a couple of MTSU students to the red carpet. Nikki DeCroce, Tony Holt, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just a word of consolation to John Hill, who is a professor of recording industry here at MTSU. We interviewed him a few shows ago about his Grammy-nominated work on a recording with the Nashville Symphony Orchestra and several choirs, 8 operatic soloists on a one-act opera by Ravel. It was nominated for Best Classical Album. It did not win. The winner was a work of Mahler that was recorded by the San Francisco Symphony under the direction of Michael Tilson Thomas. Nonetheless, we'd like to congratulate John Hill on his professionalism and on his wonderful work with the Nashville Symphony. This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Join me again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget, you can catch the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com, and we're available on iTunes.